I am and how we live. So I support the model. And when I drafted this slide, I just put up the English version of that box. But then all of a sudden, the Māori version jumped on and said, I want a free ride to council too. Anyway, you see them now, English and Māori, sitting by side by side in the council chambers. That is really just to say I support this model. I'm not going to go into the detail. I think you've heard all of that detail. You would have heard it from several people over the last few days. I'm very clear that I believe that this model is a step in the right direction. I've made it clear in presenting this model that my belief is there is no perfect model. We could spend 20 years trying to work out what the perfect model is. The reality is you find the best that, that you think for the time, and you start on it and you work at it and you evolve. Now, that's the reality of life. You never get anything right from the beginning. So very clear that I support the model. What I do want to add to that is that I also support Māori wards. So happy to have a conversation about that later on. I want to talk a little bit about the differences that we're seeing in some of the commentary and the feedback, because I kind of feel like we need to demystify this and just focus on where those differences are, because on the whole, I think it's a fairly fair and robust model. So the couple of things that I've pointed that I've picked up that are probably the key two issues that I'm hearing in that commentary. One is around the notion of democracy and whether this meets that notion. And then the second one is, and probably linked to democracy, is around Māori representation or interest groups and having disproportionate power. So first of all, in terms of the democracy side of things, couple of points I want to make about this. First of all, from a legislative perspective, this is democratic. What we're suggesting does not contradict any of the legislation in our law in New Zealand. I think that's fairly clear. The council have had a legal opinion on that. Te Arawa have had a legal opinion on that. So I don't think that's an issue. What I'm seeing the issue is the notion of unelected members having representation. And I think there's a couple of ways of solving this. And in the model, we didn't have specific detail of that election process. I want to share a little bit of the corridor around the election process from taking this kaupapa out to our people. Our people were very clear that the election process has to be robust. And that comes from our learnings not only with councils, but within our own structures and entities. We've found that the election process sometimes yields us with people who aren't fit for the job. So our people want a robust way of electing people. One of the ways that we can do that and staying with this model is to have the election process run similar to Māori wards. So it's everyone on the Māori roll that votes for those people. So I think that's solvable. We can do that. The alternative is to shift the model to a ward system. That would be another way of solving it. The second point, the concept of Māori representation versus interest groups. Personally, I think this discussion's already been had in New Zealand. I think we're well beyond the discussion of Māori representation. Let's look at central government. We've got Māori seats in central government. We have similar models to what we're proposing here at several councils around the country. We also have Māori seats on two regional councils in the country, one of them being in our backyard, the Bay of Plenty Regional Council, and I'm fortunate to have experience in that seat. And from my perspective, that works really well. So from my perspective, and this is, I suppose, my point to councillors, I don't think you need to be debating whether there should be Māori representation or not. And if we are having that debate, then I'd question where have our community been in the last 150 years? Because this city actually started from a Māori representation model. And our central government has this. You're seeing more and more of it around the country. You have co-governance arrangements. This council has co-governance arrangements. So I think we're beyond that. We've got to now focus on, you know, what is a specific model that's right. I don't think we should be debating Māori representation. And I'm not going to get too much into the argument of trying to defend the fact that we are a special interest group. The Treaty of Waitangi has already said that. The constitution of this country, being the treaty, already says that. Just some of this other stuff I've got on the slide. On the left-hand side, the legality, the partnership aspects, features, the process, the cost, I think we've ticked all those boxes. I think there's a fairly logical, clear argument around those. I don't think we need to argue them, or councillors don't need to debate them. I've also put in their distractions. And some of the distractions are things that I think are a reflection of some sectors of our community and really their own perceptions, their own insecurities in my mind. The fear, the racism, I don't know where the racism has come up, but it's a reality. It's something that I grew up around. And in fact, I can share a few experiences. Most of you know that my father was a CEO at Wairiki Polytech for some time. During that time, he pushed to have a marae established there. At the time, I was about 13, 14, around about that age. There was a whole lot of hoo-ha in the community about spending money on a marae and what's the value of that and so forth. As a 13, 14-year-old, you don't really want to care about these things, but they seep into your consciousness and they go beyond your consciousness and they hit your heart. And you start to wonder, why do people not like each other like this? What have I ever done to them because of the colour of my skin? And I remind them I'm also white as well. And I think, you know, you've got an opportunity as councillors in this process to demonstrate some leadership, some civic leadership, not political leadership, some civic and community leadership, to do what's right and to be a modeler of the example that we need in our community, to be very clear that racism isn't acceptable. And if I know that sometimes you say, oh, no, it's not racism and da-di-da. I just want to make it really clear from reading out a little bit of a letter that my father got a wee while back. And I'm only going to read a little part of it just to demonstrate an example of racism that exists in our city. So this was a letter that was sent to my father, addressed from a concerned racist. I might give you a hint on his name at the end of it. So, you bum money off the people, idiots, who wrote this crap paper you call a treaty. Your race is the lowest of all black people, the laziest, idlest, dishonest, smelliest of all coloured people in this world. You will never, ever beat us whites. We will just start to burn down all your fancy sheds you call marais. They are an eyesore all over this country. Now that's just a little snippet of a letter from Bruce Lee. I'll let you try and work out the author. Look, that's one little example. And maybe it's an extreme example. But in my life, I've experienced these kind of examples several times in various forms. And I'm very clear that I don't want my children to grow up in a community that tolerates racism. And I'll use the word tolerate because if we choose not to combat it, in a way we're accepting it. So I'm very clear about that. Partnership, values, community, and leadership. This is what this is about for me. It's not about models, it's not about democracy, it's not about legislation, it's not about meeting what councils have to do in terms of the directive of central government. It's about doing what's right for our community and having that debate and finding solutions that work. And maybe this model is that solution, maybe it isn't. What I am asking, however, is for the councillors to work hard on solving it, on bringing us together as a community, on acknowledging these things and respecting these things. And I think our model has tried to speak to that. Some of the principles in the model around our relationship and how we work together, things like good faith, the willingness to work towards solutions with clarity of purpose and intention, these kind of things are really important. So, one of the things I want you to do is open your hearts and minds to what's possible when people work together and value each other. I want us to move beyond politics and to demonstrate leadership. I want us to keep our children and our grandchildren in mind when making this decision. And I want us to do what is right, not what's comfortable. I know this is really hard to sit in the seats that you're sitting in, and to have the pressure from one side of the community saying this and the pressure from the other side of the community. But that's what you're there for, to demonstrate leadership, to listen to the people and find a way to bring our commonalities together and to move forward together. And it's not about doing things right. It's about doing the right things. I think in councils we get caught up on process and da-da-da-da-da. Let's be strategic here. This is about doing the right thing. So when our great-grandchildren read the Chronicles of Time, I ask you, what will our chapter say? What legacy will we be leaving them? What values will we be leaving them? What beliefs, What pride will we be leaving them? Okay, I'm almost at the end. I've got a couple of quotes in here I want to share. I noted that we had quite a lot of qualified people, professionals, doctors, academics that have contributed and weighed into the debate. So I wanted to put this one up there for the academics that have been involved in this conversation. The true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination. So I ask you, professionals, academics, all of us, to consider what's possible. What's possible if we work together? What benefits can we bring for our children, for ourselves, for our future? And I think we need to go beyond knowledge. And when I say knowledge, what we know now, what we know of the past, we've got to move beyond that. We've got to create what's right for the future. So essentially the whittle, the challenge to counsellors, and I think I've touched on it several times throughout this, it's really about leadership. The decision you make is about community leadership. And one more quote from a doctor, Dr. Martin Luther King. A genuine leader is not a searcher for consensus, but a moulder of consensus. Now, you're in this position right now. There is no clear consensus. There's opposing views. Your job is to be the moulder of consensus. Your job is to step up as leaders and find a way to make this work. And I believe there are many solutions to this. So I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover. Oh, I should go back to this because this is a slide I left you with when I did the presentation in December. So today we can honour the past, empower the present, and strengthen our future. We believe, we being Tauroa, and tātou tātou, we together, and I believe that too. So please choose wisely. Kia ora tātou.
Kia ora, Peter. And we'll now open for questions. We don't have a lot of time, but we will have questions. Councillor Kent.
Thank you, Your Worship. And thank you for your submission, Arabetta.
Sure.
I've got something that I'm really struggling with, and that is why Te Arawa has, given your experience with the Regional Council and how Murray Ward's works so well, as you have said, why has Te Arawa chosen to come down this route?
Yep.
Which is open to interpretation, misinterpretation, legal challenge, one that is dividing the community versus one which is enshrined in the government in terms of law that could very easily be implemented. Can you answer that for me?
Yeah, sure. The reality is we didn't propose Māori wards because of what we've experienced with this council historically, and maybe strategically maybe that wasn't the wise move. So just to put that in context, this council has considered Māori wards several times in the last decade. Every time this council has said, no, we won't have Māori wards, no, we will not take it out for consultation. So from that perspective, and looking at that history, we thought bringing that to the table will just end up in the bin like every other time that the council considered it. So we then started looking what is an alternative model that meets our objective. So that's how we landed on this. However, in the discussion with Tauroa, we have mentioned that Māori wards is a good alternative to what we're proposing.
Quick supplementary.
Yep.
Did council ever give any reason as to why they totally dismissed Māori wards?
Oh, that's a good question. To be honest, I've never ever followed it up to get that rationale. So no, I haven't had an answer.
Councillor Rau Kawate, then Councillor...
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tēnā koe, arapeta. It's taken 12 months, obviously, to put the model together. A lot of thought has gone into it and conversation. Now, and here we have been listening to the submissions, and others have put forward other models to basically tell Te Arawa what they need to do and how they need to put it, to go about it. So have any of these discussions been had with you from people who've been putting up other models?
Yeah, cool.
And what would your view be about that?
Yep, so if we're talking about the alternative democratic model that Pro-Democracy Society are proposing, no, they haven't had a discussion with me. No, they haven't had a discussion with Tauroa. The way I see it, and I haven't looked into it to detail, I've had a brief read of it, effectively that's status quo from my opinion, from looking at that. And beyond that, I don't think it addresses some of the issues that we're trying to address with this problem. Furthermore, no consultation. And I do, I should note that I've invited pro-democracy members to have that conversation with Te Arawa. Unfortunately, they didn't want to do it at the time, but I should note that we're starting to meet together. A couple of our members have had a conversation.
Could I just ask a supplementary on that? Is this a step in a process? So we have the received Te Arawa model. We couldn't have wards till 2019. Is this a stepped process about rebuilding trust and partnership?
Yes, I think it is. And I could see, if you were to roll with this model perhaps through till 2019, I think that would be a good step. One of the concerns for me is if you go down the Māori wards line of things and there's this big gap of 3 or 4 years, we're going to lose the quality of conversation that we've built up, the quality of goodwill. So I would encourage the idea of start with this model, switch over to wards when the timing's appropriate.
The other aspect of the model that hasn't been touched on very much is the building of the Te Arawa board.
Mm.
If you had wards, would that still happen, or would you see one exclusive, mutually exclusive of the other?
Yeah, we'd have to have the discussion about that. So in my experience with regional council, we've over time built the networks, because that board really is providing the accountability and the communication channels back to all of Te Arawa. Now, if you went down the wards track, you're still going to need something that make sure that those channels are there and the connection and accountability is to Te Arawa. So I'm not sure. Maybe you still need a board, or maybe you do it through another mechanism. One thing I will make clear is that if you have Māori wards and we advocate well for the things that you need for Māori, you will see that come through in your budget lines. So just to put it in context with regional council, about $600,000 is spent on our Māori policy unit, and a number of other of our funds contribute towards Māori outcomes. So whether there's money there that sets up this board, or whether there's building capacity internally in the council to make those connections stronger, there's various options in how you do it.
I'm very aware, as the chair, we're running a bit over, but we will allow two questions. Councillor, did you have a question too, Mark?
No, my question has been answered.
Great. Councillor Weeper, and then Councillor.
Yeah, thank you. Quick question. We have heard from a number of people that we are dividing and our community. We've heard that from a lot of submitters. I just wonder what your response was from that, because people are saying we lived in a really happy bicultural, where everyone got on really, really well, and now you've wrecked it, Council, and clean up your mess. So I want to know what your response to that would be.
No one can divide a community unless they choose to take that position. So I'll just start with that. Look, I don't think we're dividing the community. We're trying to have a mature debate as a community. See, what's happened historically is we've shied away from this because we're too scared to have that debate. It gets a bit scary and it's uncomfortable. I hate it, all of these ugly comments coming out in the media and so forth. But for me, and often where things have gone wrong, you need to shed a bit of sunlight on it. You need to let those thoughts come out. And we're in that uncomfortable period where it doesn't feel nice. But I think that's necessary, because we need to bring it out into the open and deal with it. Now, Māori have experienced these same uncomfortable experiences for a long time through racism and a number of other things, but we just don't vocalise it as much. We've got our marae to go back to. We've got our whānau that support us. We put our heads down and we get on with it. But we need to have this conversation as a community. And ultimately, how we handle this community will determine whether we're divided or not. Gilda.
Yeah, I'm sorry to those councillors that still had a question, but I think that there will be opportunities to raise those externally. Thank you for coming, and thank you for that presentation that helped throw some light on a way forward.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Arapita.
Yes.
It's probably the best we've had over the last
Thank you, Rod. That's nice, but it does hold up our time. And I'm the chair.
You can shout me at the pub, Rod. No.
thank you for that. And now we've got Gerard Horgan. We had Kathy on our list, but it's Gerard first. Sorry, Gerard.
That's okay. She obviously knew that that's going to be a hard act to follow.
So that's page 158 for councillors, submission 1453.
Thank you, Your Worship, the Mayor, and councillors. I thank you for the opportunity to present. I'll try to be brief. You have my written submission to refer to. I just hope that you won't refer to the staff summary of my submission as to my main points, because I disagree with it on a number of aspects of that summary. It's true that I don't support the partnership proposal as it's currently set out. However, the need for engagement with Te Arawa is absolutely essential. And when it comes to the establishment of a Te Arawa board, which the summary says I'm shown as agreeing with, my true position is more that of somebody who's silent. It's Te Arawa's business, it's not really mine. I'm shown in the council summary as disagreeing with non-elected committee members. However, I'm not and never have been opposed to non-elected committee members to cover specific areas of expertise. I'm also shown as disagreeing with voting rights for non-elected appointed committee members. A case can be made for these people to have voting rights, although generally the committees where I believe that such appointments are warranted or more likely should be ones in which operate in a consensus rather than a voting mode, so it's a non-issue. Partnership. Now, council does need to engage with Te Arawa. It also needs to engage with non-Te Arawa Māori, for whom the Rotorua district is home, and with many other groupings that represent other communities of interest in the district. To me, there's a lack of clarity about what the Te Arawa partnership is supposed to achieve. What are the projects and the decisions and the actions that are supposed to arise from the partnership? What does success look like? The proposed partnership is intended to replace the previous Te Arawa Standing Committee, which we've been told failed. Now, one of my questions to all of you, is why? Why did it fail? Yesterday, Bob Martin indicated that one of the reasons for its failure was a loss of mana because council began making agreements and entering into memorandums of understanding with Hapu outside and without the knowledge of the committee members. We need to know the reason for the failure so that we don't repeat that again. A new structure won't necessarily solve the problems of loss of mana. Only a change of culture and behaviour on behalf of council will fix that problem. Ditto for the problem that was raised at least a couple of occasions yesterday by Councillor Rakawa Tait, namely that council failed to listen to and take heed to the committee. Cloth ears are not fixed by having a new partnership. I'd like to see a proper analysis of why the Te Arawa Standing Committee failed, because we learn from our mistakes. But if we don't identify them and then design systems to correct or prevent the problems occurring, we're simply likely to repeat them again. And I don't want that. Now, there is the issue of council responsibility to Māori and its obligations under the Treaty and the Local Government Act. Those obligations are to all Māori, not just to mana whenua. And while much of the district is Te Arawa ancestral lands, I believe that the district also encompasses some Tūwharitoa lands and possibly Tūhoe and Tainui too. How are the obligations to those represented by the Te Arawa partnership? And it's all very well to say, well, in a couple of years' time they'll possibly have them. No, if you're going to deal with the issue of your responsibilities, you need to deal with your responsibilities to all of those people and to the other Māori in the for whom this is home. And I believe that in total the non-Te Arawa Māori are more than the Te Arawa Māori. Is that about 50-50, something like that? Then there's the obligations to other groups. If partnership means something, it's not appropriate for council to just have a partnership with only one of the many different interest groups whose concerns should be reflected in what it does. So you need to have partnerships with a number of other groups too. Now, we're very lucky in this district with the cultural mix that we do have. I'm very grateful. I live here. I've enjoyed living here. I've been here for the last 38 years. Seems longer. Sometimes it seems, where did it all go? We have a council with elected representatives who are Maori and or Te Aroha, and they're councillors, and the councillors to whom that applies have been voted in as the local representatives by all the community. The case for appointing council committees, for appointees to council committees with a specific Maori or Te Aroha perspective or understanding would be far more compelling if our council had no councillors with Maori or Te Aroha links. But that isn't the case. Given that we do have people on the council, people whom I know are well able to articulate arguments, I'm not convinced of the need for appointed committee members to put Te Aroha's perspective. I have absolute confidence in some of you councillors whom I voted for. I'm convinced that the council needs to have real and meaningful ongoing engagement with Te Aroha, but it needs to do that with lots of groups, not just Te Aroha. So I support engagement, and engagement to achieve real, measurable goals, but not partnership, which so far has failed to give us a picture of what real success will actually look like. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jared. Do we have questions? Well, I have a question. I just fill the gap. Yes. Do you accept, Jared, that Te Aroha themselves have told us that the Te Aroha Standing Committee wasn't working?
Yes, I do accept that, but I do think we need to go through in a detailed analysis of why it didn't work. I mean, so you learn from your mistakes. Something went wrong there. What went wrong? What do we do? How do we avoid it happening again?
And are you aware of the portfolios where there are partnerships with others in the community?
Yes, I am.
Councillor Roe Kawate?
Yes, thank you. Kia ora, Gerald. You've talked a little bit about councillors who have Te Aroha connections or are of Te Aroha.
Yep.
And are you suggesting that those councillors, because we get elected every 3 years, are you suggesting that they have to carry the weight of Te Aroha and the other councillors don't?
No, I am not. I think we have all councillors have a responsibility. What I am suggesting, however, is that we, all of you and any of us, no matter what job we do, bring to it our background. So you're well aware, if you are Te Aroha or Maori, you are likely to be aware of Te Aroha concerns, perhaps a little bit more aware than somebody who is pure Pākehā. You're well able to, Councillor Rakawatate, you are well able to articulate an argument or to bring something to other people's attention and to argue why it's compelling. That's all really I'm saying.
A supplementary question to that. I've been elected around this place for over 25 years, and I'm sure Te Aroha people have elected me as well.
Yes.
But that doesn't set me up as an expert on Te Aroha's affairs.
No.
And thank you.
No, I totally agree. But what I am saying is that there are councillors. I mean, if you are Pākehā, it doesn't necessarily make you an expert on Pākehā affairs. But you are well. But you are well able to. If somebody comes to you, I'm certain you're well able to articulate the arguments of some particular group, and I don't expect to have say as Pākehā to say, I want a partnership with council, and I'd like a couple of Pākehā people appointed to the to council committees with a with some voting rights. I'm quite happy to come to Councillor Sturt and say, I've got a problem here. Can you please deal with it?
Thank you, Jared. The time is up. You wanted to ask? The time is up. Thank you. And now we ask, thank you, Jared. And now we ask Trevor Bryan, submission number 1705.
Good afternoon. Madam Chair, councillors, ladies and gentlemen, members of the public, you'll first be asking yourself, who the heck am I and what do I do and what is my connection? And that's interesting because this council revolves around boxes. Boxes that suit the picture before them. I am simply a voice here today. I want to just be considered as a voice. It doesn't matter about my background. I'll come to a little bit of that at the end if I have time, but I'd just like to be considered as a voice. I'm not a New Zealander. I come from abroad, I will say that, and I listen very carefully to everything that goes on here. One thing I will mention is I've got no financial gain at all by speaking to you. I'm totally self-sufficient. And I come here to welcome you all because I think it is a wonderful opportunity to talk about this very important matter. I do live in an area of Rotorua called Kotu, so I'm going to tell you that little bit. And there's a great neighbour of mine just on the back row of the public gallery here. I don't know if I'm allowed to give his name. Yes, I can give his name, and that is Kingi Biddle. The street is multicultural. We get on really well. We talk. We meet. We don't have actual meetings, but we do discuss things on a day-to-day basis when we see each other. It works as a group. So now I come to the council. What is the truth about the council, ladies and gentlemen? What is the truth? Well, 2 years ago, our city was in debt, so we were offered change. And Mayor Stephanie was elected with 3 new councillors. It all sounds so good. But all the others sitting here before you, ladies and gentlemen, are of the old regime that failed us. Now that's interesting. So the incumbent new mayor, when she arrived, the Honorary Stephanie, in her inaugural speech said, prosperous future for all residents. That is very good. It sounds very good. She set out plans. One was for the immediate year, and one was for 2030. You've probably seen this to do with the central business zone. She set up a person in charge of that, one of the old regime, Councillor Karen Hunt. On the front cover of this document, there is a photo of Rotorua. It's very green because, interestingly, it doesn't conform with the date on the front of this document. The date shown is the 30th of October, 2014. The picture is 5 to 10 years before that date. It's not a true reflection of what is about to be discussed inside this document, I suggest. And when we open it up to page two, the front is considered page one, we have a long dialogue from our mayor, who again refers to prosperous future for all residents, which is excellent. On page three, we have a long discussion here by a Mr. Malcolm Short, who is chairman of a Maori group. As an outsider, I found that very interesting because he refers to this 1880 Fenton Agreement. And he says, central to the Fenton Agreement was the gifting of land for use by local and central government offices, as well as setting aside land for public amenity and enjoyment. That is a gift. A gift. That's the quotation. I ask you this question because the mayor does not allow presenters to ask any questions here. What is the function of the word gift? Well, we need to know what a gift means. It's something that is personal and it doesn't expect reward. It doesn't expect reward. It's a gift. It is given. It is without payment. The definition is a thing given willingly, without payment, a present bestowed voluntarily, that means given freely, without compensation. And we all know this. Really, we do. But page 3 in here, with this man talking, says, after this gift, what he thinks it will benefit the community by. And he says he sees development. Now, that's interesting, because he's using the word gift and he's following it by what he sees he can gain by that gift. That is the way it is read by me, anyway. I apologize if that's wrong. You see, the regime of this council has already got Trevor Maxwell here, who was the previous deputy mayor. And when our Right Honourable Stephanie made immediate changes when she was inaugurated, with the power vested in her, she made Trevor our cultural ambassador. That's excellent. Why did she do this? Because he is the creme de la creme of Maori in this city. Do I get a tick for that? So my confusion is, if we have a man of such standing here with us, and also we know that we have the young Tanya Tapsell, Councillor Tapsell here, and we also have the mayor here, who has, as she says in her papers here, had the honour to study Te Arawa historically. I think I'm right in saying that, and that's a quote from her dialogue as well. So I'm confused as to why we need other representations when we already have these important group here, and I hear what has been said previously. Can I remind all also that is democracy that elected our mayor to central government to represent us in the past, and she failed us. This community voted her out, and the Right Honourable Todd McClay in. Why? Because she did not serve Rotorua in our best interests. That is what happened. That is a fact. Now we give her a second chance, and that's a good idea. I have no problem with that at all. I voted for her, as I voted for the two new members, the three new members.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you.
I can call you disparaging names. I think you should withdraw and apologise.
I withdraw that.
I do take offence at the remark.
I apologise if that is what is requested. I apologise. I was going to go into the interest that central government has in using the Treaty of Waitangi to reiterate the need of involvement and compensation. As I see it, the true historical picture is that previous to that treaty, Maori were fighting Maori. The world is full of fighting in the past and today. Some won and some lost. And this is the horror of fighting, and those agreements after those fights seemingly failed, with more fighting to follow. But it seems, as I understand, that as a result of the Treaty of Waitangi, we had a total success story because there was no more fighting. And that surely is success. And we, my wife and I, came to New Zealand because it is at peace. It's totally at peace.
Mr. Brian, that is your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a question before we rise for afternoon tea? There appears to be none. Thank you, Mr. Brian. Rise for a break and a stretch, and we'll be back for the first submission. If we could be here at 3:05, just so we're ready for Reda Whakaitu. Thank you. Thank you.